Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good evening, Black Urban America. We're here for another week. I'm sorry to tell you that Tammy won't be here this evening. And our guests will be 30 minutes late. But... back by popular demand, we have Miss April Jones, who like close to 2,000 people downloaded the show the last time he was on. So good evening, Miss Jones.
Good evening. Hi.
How you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful this evening.
Good. I just have to do a couple rundown, and then we get back to our little conversation. This is Black Urban America. My name is Kenny Jones. Black Urban America is sponsored by Queen Mother for Real Media. And I am not the only show that come on for Queen Mother for Real Media. We have on Wednesdays, No One Talks by Devin Heflin. And he basically... interviewed different community people for his magazine as well as his talk show on Saturday evening. And, you know, he's getting a little following, too. Carl Snead out of Philadelphia with the Rock of the Thought. And all of our shows come on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that means if you're on the West Coast, you're 3 hours behind. If you're Midwest, you're 2. In Mid-East, you're 1. And then the Eastern, everybody's on board. You know, so I know that might be confusing sometimes, but that's okay. So those are the shows we have right now by Queen Mother for Real Media. Also, it's not a new program I thought of, but it's a new program that's being implemented. But also, I'm working with self-employed people and small businesses. And I mean, we have a nice plan for you. And it's affordable. It's real affordable. And if you're interested in this marketing partnership program, you could dial 404-573-6144. And you'll get me. So, yes. You know, I'm going to stay on that little kick. For the past year, Miss Jones, I've been beating this nail with this hammer about black-owned, pro-black, doing business with each other. Keeping money in the neighborhood. I had special guests on to speak to that. Everybody said, yeah. So I start seeing these people on social media say they're self-employed. Small business founder and all this. I say, look, I have something for you. It's a win-win situation. And you know, Ms. Jones, my show travels nationally.
Yes.
Even internationally. Canada, London, the Caribbean, Africa, you know. People all the world listen to this show. And it would be so much of a nice exposure for anybody that want to come in this adventure. You know, but, you know, everybody say, yeah. And now they want to answer their phone. But, I mean, how can we build something if we don't learn to trust each other? We don't trust each other. There was an article. I forgot what magazine was in. I wrote it down too, but I'm not going to fumble through the pages now. It said, entrepreneurs should not rely on black consumers.
Really?
black entrepreneurs, no, let me get right, black entrepreneurs should not rely on black consumers. Black entrepreneurs.
Wow.
And he stated that, you know, historically when people try to put their base in the black community were black folks. Now, I want to know why black folks would run out so quickly to buy from this individual where your own have hers or his. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the benefits. Black folks do not know the benefits of controlling your own finances. Chinatown. Let me throw one. Just throw something out there. Costco be running up there shooting Chinese men. Do they? Hello? Hello?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
I was saying that black folks don't know how important it is to control their own finances, a.k.a. Chinatown. Cops don't be running up in their neighborhood shooting Chinese men, do they?
No, they don't.
But they run in the black neighborhoods and shoot as quick as a dog. And that's because we as a people ask so much of government to be in our affairs, to be in our lives, to correct this, to correct that, do this for that. Case in point, when the sister come on, when she come on, you know, we're going to talk about Afrocentric education, about have teaching a curriculum the cultural way. My question is, what culture do we have where we can't trust each other? What kind of culture do we have if we can't do business with each other? What culture do we have where 99 cents out of a dollar leaves the community?
Well, I was reading something in Essence recently and about black banks. And I know I can't remember the hashtag per se verbatim, but they were saying like hashtag black banks, and black banks have seen like an increase of, you know, African Americans investing their money in their banks recently.
That's beautiful. Well, I guess the message is getting out there, but slowly. Maybe it's my approach, or maybe I should get somebody else to do it for me, you know. So, well, that gives me an idea. So, you want to tell the audience a little about yourself, Ms. Jones?
Sure. I am a early care educator. I've been an early care educator for 9 years. And so I've been working in the education industry in the field of birth through five. And also, too, I consider myself a birth through five advocate, where I look into different resources and programs to serve the school and the families that need different resources. So some of those resources might vary from having a workshop about dealing with temper tantrums, or possibly you look it into a more suitable program when they transition to elementary school for after-school programs, or if that parent needs some type of financial services, anything that I can help to aid that family throughout the course of that year, even if they need a little bit of mentorship, then I do that as well. And in addition to, like, educating children, one of the things I'm very passionate about is bringing educational outreach opportunities to schools. So having, like, the Colgate truck come, or just different things that the children can learn outside of the four walls of the classroom to kind of bridge the themes and the curriculum, that's me. So, yes, I'm very passionate about my field.
How you think our current president going to address early learning?
That's a very good question. I know that for the most part, current presidents that have been a push for Birth Through Five is making presidents more aware as to what type of investments we need in our field. So as of right now, I believe that his approach to early care education, I haven't really heard him speak much about it. More so when it comes to the education, I've heard more so about being pro-choice when it comes to, like, the charter school movement and private schools and different things like that. But I would, if I had the opportunity, I would really encourage President Trump to really invest in Birth Through Five, because that is the beginning. And so one of the ways I would encourage him to invest is just kind of putting his money where his mouth is, per se, as to, like, us having choices as well as far as, like, teacher salaries and just putting high-quality education in the community. Because as we look at the scope of education and how people try to look at, like, the high school dropout rates and how some schools are doing better than others, I think the basic foundation is just having a strong early education behind your community, per se. So that's one of the things I would encourage him to do.
Let me ask you something, Ms. Jones. Why do the early childhood centers or the early educators, early educators feel that they have to go to the federal government for help or assistance?
Well, that kind of touches on a lot of different factors. Even in the school that I work in right now, it's not necessarily federally funded per se.
Okay.
But I don't think that you necessarily have to go to the government to get your funding for your school. However, if you do have support there financially, it does help for as like the fiscal responsibility with the school, because having a school like a child development center, it costs a lot of money. It costs up in the millions, like for as the salary, supplies, and just the overhead. And so, and that's not even budgeting in like the factors of, you know, taking care of the back end of like the food costs and the other costs that might come into play. So you definitely can run a quality center without federal funding, but however, that varies between centers. And the reason why it varies, because a big part of that is just the financial support. So yes. And I do feel like the federal government should not leave, they should not leave early care education out, because in a sense they kind of have, I guess, because the landscape of elementary school, middle school, and high school is such a big, you know, problem. Like I said, the high school dropout rate and retention rates and things of that nature. But I do feel like there should be some type of support there.
Okay. Wow. Wow. So, you know, I feel that we have too much federal government in our affairs. They tell us what to do, tell us where to go, when can we go, who could come, who can't go, what to do, can't walk there, got to pay this amount of money, you get paid, if not, you go to jail. You know, I figure, that's why I asked you that, you know, I don't just see what you would say. Do you think that kids need to know about their culture as earlier as the children that you teach?
Yes. For the most part, children are very aware of culture even before they have the language to express what is going on in the surrounding environment. So, you know, children know that how mommy or daddy cooks a certain way or how they respond or how they communicate. So they are very aware of their culture. And I believe that a good quality program will integrate their culture into the classroom as well, because you can learn so much, other children can learn so much about different cultures, and that just creates an environment where, you know, children are accepting of one another, and you never know, like, what type of opportunities might, you know, come out of that. So, yes, children are extremely aware of culture. Like, they're, like, you know, a lot of times when I was working with pre-K for a number of years, they would talk about, like, you know, per se, like the different restaurants their parents might visit or the things that their parents might do at home. And that's all a part of culture, you know, and that plays a big role in the classroom as well, because children role play like what they see and what they hear.
So if so you're saying that okay, you think it would be a positive thing if a culturally based curriculum would introduce, or a culturally foundation was introduced to the kids? You think that'd be appropriate?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be appropriate because that was curriculum. The curriculum, in a sense, should reflect the child. So it should reflect the child's perspective. It should reflect the child's interest as well. So that's part of a good quality curriculum, too. So I think when that's integrated in the learning environment, then all aspects, even children that are not in that culture, can learn something as well. In addition to the families.
You ever heard of Afrocentric education?
No, I really have not.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been out since the late 60s. It really had a big push in the 90s. However, in recent years, you know, it had lost is gusto to like the with the vouchers, the charter schools, and the schools you get vouchers, what have you, and low test scores. Why do you think a charter school that focuses on Afrocentric education, which is a culturally based curriculum, and where, like they said, like you said, they're trying to get the kid to learn what they're interested in. What the low scores are, what do you think the low scores are all about?
That's something that I have to ponder with for a little bit.
Let me change direction, okay. Ms. Joe. You said that something about cooking. You can cook?
Yes, I can.
They say teachers can't cook. Is that true?
I don't believe so. Teachers are like scientists, and so I believe teachers can cook really well, but I love to cook.
Good for you. Oh, okay. I would just like to remind the audience about the shows. My show, Black Urban America, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. No One Talks, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. I provide good thoughts Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Also, please, please consider getting involved with the marketing program, community level marketing program. It will benefit everyone that's involved. You'll learn a lot, and you'll have a great opportunity. So let's take a 3-minute break, okay, Ms. Jones?
All right.
Okay, we're back. Yes, a little sunshine, you know. So, Ms. Jones.
Yes.
So, what do you think about these senators that are in trouble that have this Afrocentric background?
How do I feel about
the closing down of the centers that have an Afrocentric view?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's kind of wrong to do. I mean, it's definitely wrong to do. Because there are charter centers that are, you know, Hispanic. There are charter centers that have, like, you know, Chinese curriculums and different things like that to integrate their culture. So I don't really understand why those are closing down, per se.
They really, you know, I've been knowing about this theory for years, And I think a lot of our lifestyle need to be more Afrocentric. You know, I think that the reason why we're having so many problems in our communities is because we forgot who we are. We knew who we are. We knew who we were at one time. But it appears that we are or it's just like we're asleep. And the only time we wake up is when there's a police shooting. We could be dead for 5 years. Don't even hear from anything. And we just going along to get along, smiling in corporate face, smiling in the boss's face, and juggling all over the place. And forgetting about some of the crisis that's going on in the United States concerning African Americans. And the number one thing I see, the number one issue, no, the two issues here is identity and trust. I heard a guy said the other day, it would be two youth. They were talking. And he was describing the other kid. He said, oh, he's a tall African-American, about 16. You know, simple. Tall African-American, about 16. He tried to describe the kid, the other kid, who the kid was. I was it was an interesting conversation. The other gentleman that was also listening to the conversation, he said, don't call me African American. I ain't African American. Don't want to be said. That's an insult. I'd rather be called the N word. And he said the N word.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
You want to address it, but something I learned, you know, and it's a hard lesson. We can't save everybody. Everybody's not going to be able to come on the ship. As Palmer Funk Bellis used to say, everybody's not going to be able to come on the mothership. And some people will be left behind. And it'll be people that think like that. I really wanted to give a history lesson. So I said, tentatively, tentative, I said, well, is it good to have some type of homeland? You know what he said? My mom and daddy from the Carolinas. You know, so.
Wow.
This is no young kid. This is an older man. I said, so I tried to leave alone. I went back to over here with the kids talking about, because they got more sense than this old man. And, he kept on. Now he want to engage me. So he said, man, you know, I am a Negro American. Whoa, I hear that. Man, I heard that since I was 6 years old. I mean, you know, with that, I say, you right. How can you fight with that? But he's not the only one that thinks like that. There's millions of us that think like that. And those millions, leave them alone. I really ain't got time to be dealing with that. Maybe if you was a kid, yeah. Nah, man, you got grandchildren. I just left it alone. And it's a shame that people 2017 rather be called a disgusting term. I don't care JC popularizing. I don't care hip hop. They say hip hop is becoming Stephen Fetcher anyway. I don't care I don't care if Sam using all his movies, turns over, damn it. Look, That's an insult. Because I know, historically, the last thing a black man heard before he was lynched or shot back in the day was the word were being called nigger. There was a time where every black man had the same first name. You know what that first name was? Nigger. And it wasn't called like Nigger Smith or Nigger Brown. They were called Nigger Charlie, Nigger Tom, or whatever. And you want to call me that in terms of damn it? Nah, man, that's all right. You could be my enemy. you could be a distant friend of me. Because what makes it so bad now? Everybody in the world is calling each other niggas.
Yeah.
And that's why we need more culture. I mean, everything we do should be culturally based. Everything, even finances. Even the finances. You know, even go and make our communities more prosperous. You know, because, and that's going to be the hardest task. That's going to be a hard task, man. Because, like, yeah, I let that. Well, I'm going to tell you. In the 2000s, we had let that. We put our guard down. We put the books we was reading down. We stopped having conferences. We stopped going to conferences. That's gone. And another thing that bewilders me is like, why can't black folks with different religions work together? It gotta be a Christian movement. It gotta be a Muslim movement. It gotta be a Buddha movement. It gotta be the Moors movement. It gotta be a Hebrew movement. Look, isolating yourself from the rest of your culture based off religion is not the way to go. Because somebody don't believe the same as you doesn't mean you don't have a kind of common enemy.
I mean, it's simple.
Black folks are making this harder than what it's supposed to be. You know, I asked a brother. He's a hosts his own show also. I said, and Malcolm and Martin, I said, what do you think Malcolm, Martin, Marcus, Megger, Elijah, Selassie, Lumumba, Nelson, you know, when the brothers look down at us, what do you think they thinking of us? You know what he said? They're crying. They're crying. And I was going to write a blog about that. I was going to write an article about that, man. They're crying, you know? But, you know, I don't think we respond to criticism neither. But I don't know let a cop shoot somebody. Maybe we start talking again. Like, we've been quiet. We've been quiet, man. You know, and there's some of the stuff they are talking about. It's like, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. I don't know. I guess my guest is not coming this evening. That's okay. I'm just having a nice conversation with you, Ms. Jones.
Yes, I'm enjoying this as well.
Would you talk a little bit more, huh, Ms. Jones? You could talk. And you don't have to agree with me either.
I know, but I do agree.
Well, Ms. Jones,
but no, I wanted to ask you a question because you talked about a little earlier in the show, you talked about how we need to be, I guess, more Afrocentric in the home.
Yeah.
Per se. I think you mentioned something like that. So I wanted you to kind of explain that a little bit. What do you mean by us as Black people need to be more Afrocentric in the home?
Okay. Cool. We need to have African art, African diaspora art, our books, you know, to need to be more Afrocentric. You know, not the same old. I mean, not wrong. You need entertainment too, but not the same old gangster books that be sold out. You know, some with substance, something with meaning. Song, music, readings. You know, Christians do this. Like, oh, we're going to read a verse tonight after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, we're going to read something from Mega after dinner. We're going to read something for John Henry Clark after dinner. You know? Hey, that is so traditional and very right and Christian, you know? But if we practice that, you know, that'll start to sink. I mean, if you start that early, that'll start to sink in. You know?
When so it's gets, like infusing our history into everyday life. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, that's Afrocentric. I have a definition here that I wrote down. Centering the school pedagogy and curriculum on what it advocates, values and tradition of African people, culturally affirming. It's like reaching your center core of who you are, who you want to be. And you know what? Let's say you can expose all that. Well, if you want to go bleach your skin and straighten your hair and all that, at least you said you haven't been exposed. At least you won't 20 years from now say, oh, nobody told me this. But, you know, all the Black authors we have in this country, nobody wrote children books like For Birth of Five. Like, everything that everybody reads, Dr. Seuss. I mean, like, Black women are more and more coming out with their own children books. But now, they're not getting us, man. A Black children book to be read to a kid every night at bedtime. 2 years. Toys. Cultural toys.
Right.
Leave that white Barbie alone and pick up a Black doll.
Well, I will say, you know, being an educator in the field, I've noticed a lot more culturally sensitive materials now. Like, you know, when I was a child, I'm 35, so when I was a child, you know, we just had like the primary colors for Crayola, but now they have multicultural colors. So they have all these arrays of different browns and stuff, you know, light browns, dark browns, but it's a lot of different arrays. Like
light
in our classroom,
light,
yeah,
okay. Red fox yolk. yeah, I don't want to fit anymore. Yeah.
And
so,
I bought a book.
Does that ask you a question?
Yes, it does.
You gotta tell me if I answer your question, explain some more.
It did.
Okay. Sorry to cut you off.
No problem. No, but I was just saying that, you know, I really noticed that, and I'm glad that that's in our, you know, because now schools are, in a sense, like high-quality child care centers are required to have materials like that, you know, required to have, like, different multicultural paper, you know, crayons, paints, as well, like I saw.
It's a requirement for you to have that now?
Yes, you
suppose
have,
suppose I want to use it. That's what I meant early about government getting in everybody's business. Suppose I do not want to use it. Suppose I want all white crayons. Suppose I want red, white, and blue. Suppose I just want white figures on my wall. Suppose I want...
Well, that's not reflective of your classroom.
On my wall. Huh?
That's not reflective of... Most of the time, that's not reflective of your classroom to only present.
I'm going
to
open up a school in an all-white...
Well, people do that every day.
Yeah, and it ain't going to be no little Africans, Americans in there. Now, how would you say about that?
I mean,
it's gonna be,
you know,
all true Americans in my class, in my school. And I got the right to select anybody I feel like God put my money up.
Well, I say that happens. Unfortunately, that happens every day.
Well, I guess that'll be all for this season. We're running out of time. Miss Jones, you did a great job.
Thank you for filling in.
And I thank all the people that will be downloading the show. Everybody have a good evening and a good week. And everybody listen to Devil Effort tomorrow and Carlton Sneed on Saturday. And please give me a call at 404-573-6144 for that marketing program. Good night, April.
Good night. Good evening.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.